issue or out of the flesh. Leviticus chapter 15 verses 1 to 33. The uncleanness of men, verse 1 to 18. The uncleanness of women, verses 19 to 33. Matthew Henry observed well. He says, in this chapter, we have laws concerning other ceremonial uncleanness contracted either by bodily disease like that of a leper or some natural incidents, and this either. So what he says and what we have read tells us that there are issues of the flesh, the uncleanness of a man and a woman in his life that caused him to be defiled, and how the Lord provided a way for the sinful man, sinful woman to draw near to God again. We have here, Matthew Henry says, the law concerning the ceremonial uncleanness that is contracted by running issues in men. It is called the running of the reins, a very grievous and loathsome disease, which was usually the effect and consequent of wantonness and uncleanness and a dissolute course of life, filling men's bones with the sins of their youth and leaving them to mourn at the last, when all the pleasures of their wickedness have vanished and nothing remains but the pain and anguish of a rotten carcass and a wounded conscience. So he says, and what fruit hath the sinner then of those things whereof he has so much reason to be ashamed of? Here we are speaking about sin and its defilement and the fallen nature of man that causes him to choose to go and live in a sinful way that causes him to be defiled in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 6:21, what fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So the Lord, through this chapter, speaks to us of the holiness of life pertaining to the issue of the flesh. So he says, Paul says in Romans 6 verse 22 to 23, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gabelin, he makes a very good observation here. He says, the whole chapter shows the deplorable physical condition into which man has been plunged by sin. The issues mentioned here were therefore an evidence of the presence of sin in man's nature with the curse upon it, and constitute men and women unclean in the sight of God. It's interesting that God, through His Word, gives so much detailed laws concerning how the unclean man can be made clean, how the unclean woman can be made clean, and how we are unclean, and how much a need it is that we be cleansed. We are a people whom God has set apart for Himself, and therefore the way we live our life must reflect that consecration, that sacrifice that has been made to win for us our salvation. The Lord wants us to keep ourselves pure, and therefore the Lord made these laws so that the people of God can be cleansed. Not only actions from which we can abstain, but operations of nature which we cannot help, unlike defile in such a manner and degree as to require even as voluntary acts of sin and the cleansing of water and the expiatory blood of a sin offering. You will notice that the person who is unclean has to be separated for a period of time before he would wash himself, change his clothing, and then to bring a sin offering and a burnt offering to the house of God in order that he may be received to fellowship with God. And so the Lord stipulated and provided for us a very visible picture of how we are to approach God. Today we don't have a tabernacle. We will not need to bring turtle doves and pigeons and bullocks to the tabernacle for our sin offering. But God has cleansed us through His Son, a once and for all sacrifice, and therefore we have these, right, the figures of the tabernacle as a warning to us, right, how we need to purify ourselves, how we need to seek to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. Fallen human nature, Gablin says, in its weakness and defilement is taught, and that this human nature is impure and polluting even in its secret workings. The blood and the water cover all this. So you see that the man or the woman that is defiled must be washed with clean water, and then he has to bring an offering, a blood sacrifice, in which or by which, right, his sins could be atoned for, right, prefiguring the work of the Messiah Christ and his atoning work upon the cross. You recall the incident in Matthew chapter 9 when our Lord had a brush with this woman with the issue of the blood. Matthew chapter 9 verse 18 to 26, just to give us a little bit of context, it says here, while he spake these things, our Lord said unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. So she's having this plague upon her for a long time. To be sick for 12 years is a long time to endure. Came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth out put forth, he went, and he took her by the hand, and the maid rose, and the fame wherewith went abroad into all the land. You see, when our Lord Jesus came, he was the creator of heaven and earth. He is the God from whom all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was the creator. How mind-boggling and great a truth that is brought before us, that God would come in human flesh. And he demonstrated his deity when the woman with the issue of blood was cured immediately. A disease that she could not rid herself of, no physician could heal her, but the Lord Jesus Christ healed her. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, by which all these laws of the tabernacle point to, is the Son of God. And you know, man has been worshipping every other thing except the living and true God. The world would worship the sun god, right? In Egypt, you would see they have the Hierapolis built to the worship of the sun god. And the people would wake up looking at the sun and worshipping it. Why? Because the sun was it that was the one that brought light to us. Right? Without the sun, without the light of the sun, we would all perish in our coldness. But who made the sun? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who made the sun. The sun is not so significant, because the Bible tells us that in eternity, you don't need the sun. Right? When God would create the new heavens and the new earth, the Bible tells us there will be no more sun. Christ will be the light. And the Lord wants us to know and wants us to take hold of the truth of who God is and to worship him rightly, with the right devotion, with the right motive, with the right heart, so that we may receive his blessing. We may receive his presence, and we may receive his joy, we may receive his peace. What a joy it is that men would know his Savior. Right? Savior! The word there means that, you know, we do nothing. He is the one who would save us from our distress, from our discouragement, right? From our unhappiness. If we would just be connected with him and be connected so closely with him daily, moment by moment, we would receive strength from him. We would receive life from him. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. J.C. Ryle said insightfully, "A woman sorely afflicted with disease came behind our Lord in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment in the hope that by doing so she should be healed. She said not a word to obtain help. She made no public confession of faith, but had confidence that if she could only touch his garment, she would be made well." And so it was. Do you have that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is? To help you through your life's problems, through the issues in your life. Well, that was what the whole point of the tabernacle was pointing to, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know Him, and you are connected with Him, and you are with Him, and He is with you, then your life will be so wonderfully restored. As the good old writer said, she came trembling and she went back triumphing. In other words, she was triumphant. She received what she needed. God met with her. And today, how can we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we find healing from her? It is through the sacred word of God, the law of God that is taught to us, that would impart to us this life. And we thank the Lord for giving you the grace to persevere through the study of God's word throughout this year. Right? Every week, almost every week, we would come for close to 10 months of the year to study the word of God on a Wednesday morning. And we thank the Lord that He provided us an appointment to meet with Him to study His word. Let this continue to be our focus, that we want to get close to God and through His word, that we may be able to find grace, find help, find wisdom for life. For any other way, right, any other approach, we will be sorely defeated. We will be sorely, sorry. There is no other way. And God provided such a way, and therefore the Lord says to us that let us fully appropriate God's given means of grace through Bible study. C.H. McIntosh, he says, the book of Leviticus holds up a faithful mirror to nature. It leaves flesh nothing to glory in. Men may boast of their refinement, their moral sense, their dignity. Let them study the third book of Moses and they will see what it is all really worth in God's estimation. Right? What do you see here in this chapter? Well, we see the uncleanness of men, the uncleanness of women. So when a man is unclean, he must not dare to come near the sanctuary. This signified the filthiness of sin, Matthew Henry says, and all the productions of our corrupt nature, how they are odious or renders us odious to God's holiness and utterly unfit for communion with Him. Out of the pure heart, well kept, are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. And out of an unclean heart, that which is defiling. And so Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So, here in our text, it said to us, He made every man, every person and thing unclean that he touched or that touched him. So that is the severity of that uncleanness in that person. He's unclean. He's every whit unclean. Anything that he touches, anything that touches him, becomes unclean. That is the nature of sin and defilement. And that is why you notice that the Bible teaches separation from uncleanness. Right? He's not allowed to go to the sanctuary while he's unclean. And while we approach God in worship, while we prepare ourselves, we must not come to him, right, haphazardly, wantonly, the way we want it, the way we think we know it, right? But the Lord wants us to approach him reverently. The Lord wants us to approach him, right, with fear and trembling. The Lord wants us to approach him, right, knowing the sanctity of his holy sanctuary, knowing the sanctity of his presence with us. And therefore, you notice in our text here that there is great elaboration given to the man and the woman who is unclean in the flesh. And it's given here in uncertain terms and in great details how we can be made clean again. Our text tells us in verse 21, "Whoso touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Whoso touches anything that she sets upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. If it be on her bed and on anything whereon she sitteth, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the even." There is a separation. "And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days." So you see, the uncleanness is not something that, right, can be easily taken away. You have to observe, right, the way of purification that God stipulated, so that we were not be so haphazard in our way by which we would approach God. The Lord wants us to know, right, that separation from idolatry, separation from sin and its defilement, especially the defilement that comes in the body. And the Lord tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The tabernacle of God is in us. In us, right? The Spirit of Christ is in us, and therefore we are a people that is separated unto holiness. And therefore we must, with fear and trembling, come before God, asking for God's mercy to wash us, cleanse us by his precious blood, and to come before him. "Who shall stand in God's holy place? He that hath clean hands and pure hearts. For without holiness no man shall see God." Amen.